Hello, this is David Middleton, pastor of Jesus is Lord Outreach Center in Columbus, Ohio, welcoming you to Doers of the Word. This program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God so that you can live in victory in your life. I invite you to open your heart and mind as I share the uncompromised Word with you today. Praise the Lord. Glad to be with you on the radio broadcast today. We're sharing with you on the subject of the truth about Christmas. And this may rattle you or step on some of your religious toes, but we need to know the truth. You know, nearly all the nations of the world celebrate Christmas. It's the most popular holiday in the world. And, of course, the day of Christmas Day is December 25th, considered by many the day of the birth of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Well, we've looked at some of the beginning on this subject. We saw that the word Christmas comes from the word Christus Mass, later became Christ's Mass, which was eventually shortened to Christmas. It was originally a Mass for Christ. It was started by the Roman Catholic Church in the early 4th century. That's when Constantine was converted to Christianity. Following his conversion, he made it the state religion in 313 A.D., and the pagans that he was bringing into the church, he wanted to persuade them to join the Roman Catholic Church. And so many pagan customs were brought into the church. There was a mixture of merger of Christianity and paganism in order to bring an increase of these that would come into the church. Now, one of the most important pagan customs that was merged with the church was the observance of the Roman midwinter feast called Saturnalia. Saturnalia was the winter solstice. The days began to lengthen. The sun would climb higher in the sky. And one of the purposes of this Saturnalia was a tribute to Saturn, the god of agriculture, in order to bring plenty in the next harvest. They were worshiping the sun god. They celebrated the return of the sun, the birthday of the sun god Sol, who was known as Mithra. This was idolatry and paganism. And it's important to realize the Mithraic religion of Persia celebrated the birth of the unconquered sun. And the date of this birthday was December 25th. Mithra rivaled Christianity during this time. In order to satisfy the pagans, to bring them out of that, to bring them over to Christianity, the Roman Catholic Church appointed December 25th, appointed it as the birthday of Jesus Christ. Was Christmas ever celebrated by the church during the first 3 centuries? The answer is absolutely no. Does the Bible say anything about celebrating the birthday of Jesus? There isn't a word in the scriptures about remembering or celebrating his birthday. There's no scriptures that even declare the exact date of his birthday. You know, the Bible is very explicit about what should be remembered and observed. Remember, the Old Testament feasts were spelled out specifically about what they should observe and how they should do it and when they should do it. Certainly, if Christians were to celebrate the birthday of Jesus, the Word of God would have revealed the exact date of it and would have told us to celebrate it and given us express, specific instructions on how to celebrate it and what we were supposed to do. Now, we need to realize that this is an important area that where the enemy has brought in deception into the body of Christ through this merger of paganism. Because what are we supposed to remember in the Bible? We're supposed to remember the death and resurrection of Jesus. We've been told to do that. You know, when you think about it, the Bible says nothing about celebrating the birthday of Jesus. Yet most Christians celebrate Christmas on the supposed birthday of Jesus. You know, when we are of heaven, we're not of the world. The Bible says that those that are the true followers of Jesus are hated by the world. The world hates us. Well, if we're hated by the world, why do worldly people celebrate his birthday with us? If they should hate the celebration of Christmas, that's what they should, then why in the world would they be involved in it? The truth is, in fact, that more non-Christians will celebrate Christmas throughout the world than Christians. Now, we've already seen that December 25th, the pagan birthday of the unconquered sun, is December 25th, the birthday of Jesus. And we began looking at this, and we looked at the one point to show that it definitely was not the birthday of Jesus. And we're going to go over this again for you today. From the Word of God, we can determine the specific time of year of the birth of Jesus. We can determine this because of looking at Elizabeth's conception of John the Baptist and when that occurred. Now, we can't know the specific date of his birth because it's not given in the Word of God of the birth of Jesus. However, we can see when the birth of Jesus was roughly, and we can see that clearly it did not occur in the month of December. In Luke chapter 1, we looked at verse 24, 26, 27, and 36, where it talks about Elizabeth's conception, how the Gabriel came in the sixth month there, and to Mary when she was espoused to a man named Joseph, and this is when she received the Word of God, and then after that the Holy Spirit overshadowed her and Jesus was conceived. Well, when did this occur? This occurred when Elizabeth was in the sixth month of her pregnancy. So when Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, Mary had just become pregnant. So from the time of Elizabeth's conception of John the Baptist till the birth of Jesus was about 15 months. Of course, this is determined simply by adding the 6 months of Elizabeth's time there plus the 9 months of Mary equals 15 months. And we pointed out from Luke 1, 56, 57 that Elizabeth went a full time. She wasn't prematurely giving birth to John. When her full time came that she should be delivered, she brought forth a son. We also talked about Mary had the same thing, that when her days were accomplished, that she should be delivered. The full term went forth. So the 15 months elapsed from the time of Elizabeth's conception until the time of the birth of Jesus, and this was from, we could determine that if we can see this time of Elizabeth's conception, we would know roughly the time of the birth of Jesus. Can you determine the time of Elizabeth's conception? And the answer is yes. And we were talking about this at the conclusion of the broadcast yesterday. In Luke chapter 1, and we're going to go over this again, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, her name was Elizabeth. It came to pass while he, Zacharias, was executing the priest's office before God in the order of his course, as the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. What did the angel say? He said, "Thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." So here the word came that he was going to be having a son. Now Zacharias was a priest of the course of Abiah. In Israel, the priests, and he was a priest, they were divided into 24 lots or orders of courses that correspond to the 24 geographical divisions of the nation. Now the 24 lots would occupy the office of the priest consecutively throughout the year, and each lot would minister for a half month at a time. So 24 lots of 1 half month would cover the entire year. Now Zacharias presented himself for his tour of service at the temple in Jerusalem regularly year after year. Each order of course rotated the service at a set time during the year. During Zacharias' tour of service, when Gabriel appeared to him and told him that God had heard his prayer and that he's going to have a son and call his name John, this was a set time. So if we can determine this, then we will know roughly the time of when the conception occurred. Now, from the Talmud and the other Jewish sources, the division of Abiah, that when they served in the temple, was during the second half of the fourth month. So during the second half of the fourth month, Zacharias was in the temple serving. And this is also confirmed in 1 Chronicles 24, where it talks about the divisions of the sons of Aaron and their lots and how they were divided. And it says the eighth is Abijah. And we pointed out that Abijah is the same as Abiah. It means the same thing. In the New Testament, it's Abiah. In the Old Testament, it's called Abijah. Now, the eighth lot was the order of course for Zacharias. And this eighth month was the second half of the fourth month of the Jewish calendar. Now, the fourth month of the Jewish calendar corresponds to our months of the last part of June and the first part of July. So, the second half of the fourth month, the eighth course, would correspond to the first part of our month July, be the second half of that fourth month. So by this time, the end of this fourth month, which would have been the end of Zacharias' course, he would have finished this around the middle to the latter part of July. The middle, somewhere around the middle to maybe the 15th to the 20th of July, somewhere in that area. So we see that Zacharias then, he finished his course. And what did he do? It says in Luke 1, 23 and 24, that as soon as the days of his administration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. So this had to be after around the 15th to the 20th of July, something like that. A few days after that, Elizabeth conceived. And apparently it happened rather quickly. And so we see that Elizabeth conceived right after this. This would have been in the latter part of our month of July. Now, we already determined the birth of Jesus was 15 months after the conception of John the Baptist. 15 months from the latter part of July brings us to the latter part of October. That was the time of the birth of Jesus, the latter part of October. So Elizabeth conceived in the latter part of July, gave birth in the latter part of April. Mary conceived in the latter part of January. Some people try to say that, well, maybe it wasn't the birthday of Jesus in December 25th, but he was probably conceived then. No, he could not have been conceived then because of the fact that Zechariah's course would have took him to at least the middle of July, which would have been like the middle of January for the conception of Mary to have occurred. Mary conceived in the latter part of January, and Jesus was born in the latter part of October. He was not born in the latter part of December on December 25th. Remember, this date was appointed to coincide with the birthday of the unconquered sun, the pagan god Saul. They were worshiping the sun. And this is important to realize. So Jesus was definitely born sometime after the middle of October. We can see that clearly, and he was not born on December 25th. Another point that even shows this, when we look at these things from the Word of God, it's over in Luke chapter 2, when we see the fact that Jesus there, at the time of his conception, says when Jesus was born, the shepherds were in the field watching over their flock of sheep. This is at the time of his birth, as recorded in Luke 2:8. And it said there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. The shepherds tended their sheep in the field, except during the rainy season. It was a custom in Israel to send their sheep in the early spring, bring them in at the first rain. During the rainy season, the Jews kept their flocks in places of protection. The rainy season is from November to February. And so we see that they would have been brought in by around November. And this is significant. So we see that Jesus was born while the shepherds were out in the field. So they certainly weren't out in the field in the middle of the rainy season, which would have been December 25th. And they were, of course, around the end of October, and by November, when the rainy season started, he certainly would have been conceived by that, or that would have been the time of his birth, because he was conceived at the end of January, as we already pointed out. Another point is the fact that the time of the tax, the time of the birth of Jesus occurred at the time of being taxed by the Romans. Remember in Luke chapter 2, Caesar Augustus had sent out a decree that all the world would be taxed, and everybody had to be taxed and go into their own city. Well, Joseph went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea and the city of David, called Bethlehem. And this was the time of the year to be taxed. And this is when Mary, of course, had Jesus there in Bethlehem. Now, there's no records indicating that the rainy season was ever the time of taxation by the Romans. It was very difficult for journey for anyone to return to their home city to be taxed during the rainy season. In fact, the normal time for the taxation was at the fall of the year, following the harvest time. That's, of course, when they'd have all their money, and the Romans would want to tax them and get that. So we see that, again, this was around the end of October, and so we can see that the birthday of Jesus was the end of October. The conception occurred at the end of January, so the conception was not even in December. It was at the end of January. So we see that clearly Jesus was not born on December 25th, but in the latter part of January. We need to know the truth, and this may really bother you that you're hearing this today, but you must know the truth so that we can know what is real and what is not. We're going to continue on this in the next broadcast. We'll see you then. God bless you. I trust that you've enjoyed the teaching today and have learned how to apply it in your life. As you have received the Word of God, the Holy Spirit has written it in your heart and mind and taught you the ways of spiritual reality. It is now your responsibility to be a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. As you continue to do the Word of God diligently, you will become a true disciple, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. May God bless you as you are a hearer and a doer of the Word of God.